I hope you don't die.
I hope you don't die.
One, two. I got the blues. Mr. Nobody. That's right, I got the blues. Episode 26. Some days I just have the blues. I got the blues.
Got the blues. Got the blues.
Ba do ba do 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 do. Flap a do bing bang ba do do. We'll leave that for later. So this week, I've been a little shit. That's right.
Got the blues.
I guess I can admit that. I feel sorry for myself. I
got the blues.
And then it gets worse. This way of thinking. On this track. Going nowhere. Going nowhere.
Going nowhere.
This way of thinking. Going nowhere.
Nowhere.
As it's going. So neither does it get anywhere. But it goes nowhere. While it's getting there.
Nowhere.
This way of thinking. Triggered when I have these conversations that deal with how to be a positive contributor to a conversation. The conversation writ large about drug abuse, death, drug dealers, grief, and especially bullshit.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. I should unpack what I mean by bullshit. Bullshit seems like a conclusion and not descriptive. The way I mean it, that you sell yourself out, that also sounds like a conclusion. You accept your own narrative. Fuck, I'm guilty of this. You accept your narrative that gives you permission. You give yourself permission to do the wrong things. And there's only what we do. We're just a stack of our actions. This begs a question. For example, when people say, he's a good person, or she's a good person.
Or I'm a good person.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that there's some
good
with a capital G, or even a lowercase g, that is what you are? I'm not sure. It seems like a person's reputation, in other words, the fog they carry with them, cloud that surrounds them, dictated by the knowledge people have of their actions, of what they're consistent have been, not as to whether we judge them good in some standalone way. For example, if you're shooting drugs every day and you're not reliable to show up to be... I've worked with people who are junkies and you couldn't rely on them. Now, I wonder if I could say she was a good person. I don't know if she was. The junkie that I knew who I was working with had a kid at home and she was just playing out that whole drama. Action after action. Be lied. Contradicted. Does that sound unfair? Like I'm picking on drug abusers? It's my own personal... Having been a drug user myself, in my case, I was unreliable. People couldn't hire me at different times for important jobs. Some of them were honest enough to tell me why.
Because, man,
you're stoned all the time. We need somebody here who's got it together. This is a really important thing we're trying to do. We like you, but rely on you. That fucking hurt. I'll tell you what, it hurt enough for me to change it. It hurt enough. I had a guy who worked for me when I had a small business that I could leave at that job. And I knew he was doing even more than I expected him to do. I learned so much about life from that experience because he was more reliable than I was. I guess I'm equating reliability. True to your word, to your contract, to your stated purpose as good.
As good.
And that any other form of good sort of seems to go down some slope. Because if that guy didn't do what he was supposed to do, or did shitty work, or was fucking off, and then I came back to the job site and he's like, well, I'm a good person, I would have still had to fire him. Just like people would have had to fire me, or you, or not hire us in the first place. Yeah, so there is a good there. There's a G
hanging out
on your reputation. And there's a quote that says, we are not in control of our reputation. And I think that is true if you consider obsessing about what people think about you as something beyond your control. That I totally agree with.
But
your reliability, your honesty, your integrity and truth to your word, that's what makes us good, or at least candidates for a good life. I suppose if a junkie said to me, as I have said in my life to other people, you can't rely on me, I don't have it together, I'm out of control, I'm being controlled by this bullshit game of drug powder, stupid, fucked up non-friends, escaping my reality and my drug pusher, I would respect that. I still couldn't hire them. You still couldn't have a person like that babysitting your babies. You couldn't do it because the contract, the job, requires somebody to not be that way. There is a division between honesty and reliability. Like, you could be honest and still not be reliable. I guess you could also be full of deceit and dishonesty and somehow be reliable in a particular circumstance. Interesting. But at base, whatever our actions are, starts to create that statue that reflects us. And we might not like it because we might want to say, how dare you judge me? But what you're really saying is, I am so fucking embarrassed, which is a good thing, that you're judging me by my actions and holding me accountable. And hopefully, each one of us can come to this and say, I have the power.
Power.
Only I have the power to change that, to rehabilitate myself, to change my destiny in terms of my fellow human, my community, this world, time, love. I only know because I did it. I was a little shit. Where were we?
I got the blues.
Ah, yes, I've got the blues. Tell you something now that is not easy for me to confess, to recall, to be honest about. It's just painful. When my kids were small and I was not happily married, full of resentment at my life.
Frustration.
I didn't know what to do to make it better. I knew that work somehow made things better. It made me feel better about myself. But at a certain point, just toiling away, looking for menial jobs, wasn't going to cut it. It wasn't going to release
me from my
cycle. Just getting enough money to pay the rent or the lights or the phone. I was terrified. The car was always breaking down. Other people seemed to have a life, a career. And I had these little kids, and I really didn't have a way to take care of them, for them. I even tried getting myself together to go back to school. I'd never been to school. I was looking for shortcuts, and they never worked out. like a way to make more money than I deserve or that my skills warranted. I found that I could manipulate people pretty well because I was an interesting person with my music and blah, blah, blah. And I could get my foot in the door, sometimes a couple of feet in the door, but I couldn't get much farther because things would just invariably start to reveal themselves that I couldn't be there on time or I didn't get there on time. I was definitely in love with being stoned and some other things. And here's the painful part. In my frustration, I was violent a few times, too many times, with my little children.
And I hit them.
I once screamed at my daughter to shut up in her crib. And even worse,
a few years later,
she was acting out, and I threw her on her bed. And she said, ow, my back. I cannot tell you how deeply I hated myself in that moment. My beautiful, beautiful little girl, that I would lift her with my strength and throw her on her bed and hurt her. I could have easily thrown her against the wall with the kind of permission I was giving myself. I obviously had a problem because this had been going on for some years. It was infrequent, but it happened. It's how I dealt with frustration
at a certain boiling
point. And to the rest of the world, I seem like this super attentive, loving father, but behind the mask
is the monster.
Another time, my son was small. We were about to leave the house. Not even the house, the fucking loft I was squatting in. I told you I was a little shit.
And I
got him dressed, and he was still in diapers.
And we were late.
And he went to the bathroom in his diaper. All his clothes were ruined, and I was rough with him, getting him changed, and he was crying and so upset
as a little man
the way I was doing it, treating him, cursing. That's just two little images of what I really am, was.
What I really am.
Certainly who I was. And then came this day.
I was
in the car, 4x4 kind of vehicle that I owned.
But I was driving around without a license.
Without insurance. I can't believe what I did, how I was. And I was taking my little kids to the fucking zoo of all places to have this daddy day. And my son was acting up.
Out, not up.
But just out, like little kids have to.
Will.
And he was wearing shorts.
And I
turned. And I slapped him on his leg. He was maybe 3 or 4 years old. But I can still recall his bitter tears. They weren't the outburst tears of pain. They were the bitter, angry tears of humiliation, hatred, and injustice. And I recognized them. My daughter went to comfort him, and their two faces looked at me from the back seat. And I didn't need there to be a God in this universe to tell me that I had done something wrong.
Something wrong.
And I felt their hatred, their fear. I felt
My father,
because that's how he treated me, felt it all. How could this be who I am? How could this be the man I am? Things like this maybe didn't happen often. It was often because you give yourself permission to be evil, to hurt that thing or those creatures that are weaker than you. I noticed that my son would flinch around me. Like a dog who's been hit too often because it can't tell anybody. I took my children aside because I was disgusted and humbled, humiliated by the truth. And I did two things. I swore to my children, that I would never, ever put a hand on them again. Not for anything. Not for anything.
Never to hit them. Ever.
And then the next thing I asked for was their forgiveness. Which I did not deserve. It was very soon after that that I was able to recognize a chain of being that went from my father to me, and that I threw that chain over my own children. And it was also attached to various relationships that were unhealthy, shortcut, and based on just seeking pleasure or escape from reality. And I changed. I saw in their beautiful faces that although they didn't trust me yet, and they couldn't reliably know that I was truly in a conversion, a profound conversion process, that they were willing to give me a chance. And within months, after hugging and kissing them and loving them and resolving issues of behavior through communication and caring, that they knew that I had broken that chain.
Because I would tell my son,
you don't have to fear me. I will never hit you again. And you can always tell me what's happening, and I will listen. Who would I have become? Who would I have let myself become if I continued on that way, on that path, down that track? My children saved my life. I never did hit them again. Somehow that simple
doorway
opened up a world that I never left.
Reliability.
Trust, doing the right thing. There's a proverb that's probably 10,000 years old that says, something strong harming something weak is a crime against nature, and it will be punished.
I love that.
Dark stuff.
Dark stuff. Dark stuff.
It's the kind of stuff we want to forget. Those are the kind of memories that we suppress because we want to think well of ourselves. I want to think that I'm a good person. Most of us will do anything it takes to find a way to say that we're a good person. I wasn't a good person. It corresponded with my convictions.
When I say convictions, I don't mean theft or murder or drug dealing.
I mean convictions inside myself about what is right and what is wrong. It was only in experiencing a profound
wrong
that I was jolted, that I was awakened into action. And not just action, but a change in the underlying organic structure of my being. A change I made. It didn't require anything supernatural, unless you want to say love is supernatural. I don't think it is. And it's not just love, it's thriving. I knew my kids would take on the worst and the best aspects of me. And so I needed to be responsible. In that moment, that's not what I thought about. I was overwhelmed with the truth. And once I recognized and felt the full force, I could never go back.
Unknowing.
That's why it sucks so hard. That my son killed himself. Because I was really looking forward to a life where he maybe didn't have to suffer the same way the same bullshit I allowed myself to suffer.
Same bullshit. Same bullshit. Same bullshit.
Out of ignorance.
Out of ignorance.
Pride. Or just anger. Which I think is ignorance. It's not knowing yourself.
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 Not knowing yourself.
I sometimes say that my son snuffed himself out in an instant, but it wasn't that way. He discovered drugs when he was in high school with his friends. And when I looked into his telephone when he was
15,
because something wasn't right,
15,
and I saw the text messages between him and his friends showing the different pills that they were taking and the language that they were using, I didn't recognize my son. I did not recognize my son all of a sudden. But I saw him in those text messages for who he really was, at least at that time. Not that his drug experimentation, nice word, was the totality of who he was. It's not the case at all, any more than the outbursts of anger were the totality of who I was. Like it or not, were enough to poison the well. How many people have killed their child because they went too far? Or killed themselves because they went too far? And I ask you, did they go too far?
Did they go too far?
Did they go too far? Or did they just go a little farther on the track they were on? And when I view it that way, I realize my son's self-destruction was on a track. And just like people who commit child abuse or have some other fucking problem that they don't bother to control or get to the bottom of, the horrible results that we see in the world are not isolated. They're part of a continuum. I thought my son was no longer gonna do drugs, ever. Whatever.
Whatever, 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 whatever.
There's that word again. Still on that track.
Still on that track.
Still on that track.
Still on that track.
I often say, how could I be so stupid? How could I be so fucking stupid? To not know my son was not only on that train, but driving it. And I feel a lot of guilt. The feeling that I'm somehow responsible.
I feel sorry
that I don't have him to share my life with. And to share his life with, to talk these things out. You get the point.
You get the point. Get the point. Get the point. Get the point. Get the point.
So our actions are all we are. Telling myself I was a good person was never going to stop hitting my kids. Stopping hitting my kids was what made me a better person. Deeply understanding and seeing. Sometimes these things don't have words. When I saw my children's faces from the back seat of the car looking at me, it wasn't words that made me say no. It was a human connection. I think people can even experience this with animals, and we're animals. Connection. Between one thing stronger, harming something else that's more vulnerable, and how that is the antithesis of why we're here. Which is to love each other. And this brings me around full circle to where I started. What is my purpose? What is the meaning of my life? So much of it died with him. I trusted him. So I don't know if I even have a voice that can tell you what. Stop this shit. Rethink your fucked up actions. Do you really need me to tell you that? Because no conversation is going to bring my son back. And if you kill yourself or hurt somebody else, shame on you. In inside every one of us is that proverb. There is part of us that is a stronger and part of us that is less strong. If you allow the self-destructive part to rule you, then you've committed a crime against nature. Because what are you, if not nature? I hope you don't die. That's up to you. Episode 26, The Age My Son Should Be. Mr. Nobody, out.
I got the blues.
Got the blues.